Hi, this is John Reed with the Uncensored Week in Sports. Another late night edition upon us here on Sunday night. Once again, for those of you who tried to find me a little earlier tonight, I sincerely apologize. I seem to be on a late night tip with my show these days, but it gives a chance to reflect upon the week's events, and if I get any callers or chatters, I'll probably include you in some phase of this broadcast. So, I have some comments about the week in sports, things that are bothering me. I think I'm going to let loose a little more so on this podcast. So if you don't like profanity-laced diatribes, you might want to shut this one down. I'm still rooting, by the way, for the BCS to screw itself up. There's still a good chance because we have Oklahoma didn't do us any favors by botching it up, but we still have we got two teams, right? We got Georgia and USC won very, very convincingly. So they have as legitimate an argument for a national title as anybody, and they're not going to get to play for one. So we'll see what happens in this game coming up. But if the Associated Press were to go ahead and vote for Georgia or USC, that'd be kind of interesting. I don't see it happening, but this is not the best year for the BCS, and hopefully it will continue to build money for a playoff system in college football. There's some different things that are on my mind. The NFL Network. One thing that really bothers me about the NFL Network is that they're getting all this good PR now for being kind and generous enough to do the right thing and show the Giants-Pats game. And, you know, you got to give them credit in the sense that I think Roger Goodell honestly wanted America to see the game. And I think that was the primary basis behind his decision. So I do really feel you got to give him some credit for that. But make no mistake, the NFL Network put itself in this situation the way it has been holding hostage the American sports consumer for a handful of games in basically 24/7 year crap coverage that only the most ridiculous diehard fan would like in exchange for a handful of games a year. And suddenly every cable subscriber in America has got to pay for the privilege of this crap channel. It doesn't belong on basic cable. I pay for the channel myself as part of a premium sports package, and that's exactly where it belongs. The idea that the average American household needs to watch these canned shows, their second-rate commentators, their third-rate celebrity sports announcers and color analysts, it's just crap. Come on. The NFL Network is not a good network, and it's going to be hard for them to come up with an argument that they have a relevant network. All these specialty sports networks, they should be on a premium sports tier, which is where they belong. Customers who want them should pay for them, and everything's fine. Or they could have these games they currently have locked away on the NFL Network and put them on pay-per-view or do other things with them. They could cut different deals with cable companies to air some of these games, show a lot more eyeballs to the games, and then build a lot more brand recognition and make more money and make more people happy. I'm pretty sick of it, to be honest with you. Screw the NFL Network. Do you realize, of course, that in addition to this, they play hardball with NFL Sunday Ticket, also making it impossible for the average cable subscriber to see that. You have to have satellite. For those who can't get satellite like me, you can't even see those games. So the NFL engages in borderline monopolistic practices when it controls its programming, and now we're supposed to bend over backwards to praise them because they put one game when there was overwhelming political pressure on them to do so on national TV. I don't buy it. They need to get a life and realize that their network, if a sports diehard like me has no interest in the NFL Network, then the network is crap. It belongs on a premium sports tier, not part of basic cable. Okay, end of NFL rant on the network. What else is on my mind? Well, I'm a little bit annoyed by a lot of idiot fans, a lot of people who want to think that they can predict the outcome of these games. These games in the NFL playoffs, no one knows what's going to happen. There are all these fans that like to chime in beforehand. So-and-so is going to kick so-and-so's butt, all this kind of stuff. Like, you're not a true fan if you're not railing on other fans and comparing them to women or worse, you see these team names, the Patsies or the Cowgirls, like you got to diminish and feminize the other team, as if you're actually on your damn team, as if you actually played a down, as if you actually accomplished anything on the field. No, you're a fucking fat couch potato mocking other fans and bringing your negative, have-no-life energy into the sports universe. And these are the kind of people that get all hyped up for the game with all their stupid chat board comments, and they totally miss out on the fact that the beauty of this thing is that it is unpredictable, and no one knows exactly what's going to happen. How many people thought, oh, you know, Eli Manning is going to choke in the Tampa Bay game, and I thought Eli Manning was going to play pretty well, but you don't know for sure. I talked to a guy tonight who was like, yeah, the Packers and the Cowboys are a sure thing for the NFC Championship game. You don't know that. That's so uninteresting. Now, I mean, there are certain matchups in sports where you can kind of tell ahead of time that a certain team is just not going to do well in that matchup, and you can just kind of tell. But for the most part, when you break down these matchups, you can see that anybody can win. I mean, take a look at Seattle going into Green Bay. That's going to be a good game. I'm not a huge Seattle guy. They disappointed me a lot in the past, but they can make that a game. They absolutely could. And then on the other side of the spectrum, the Giants, if the Giants play the kind of ball they've been playing the last couple weeks, they're going to give the Cowboys all they can handle. Will they win? No one knows for sure, but that's a good matchup. It's a one-and-done situation. If it were the best of seven, maybe you could go out on more of a limb, but it's not. It's a one-and-done deal. How do you know who's going to win and who's going to lose? That kind of stuff drives me batty. Enjoy the games. Bet on the games if you want, but don't bring your negative you suck energy into the sports arena. I'm sick of it. This idea that you're a true fan, if you're like some kind of crazy diehard that makes fun of other fans and always knows what's going to happen 2 or 3 weeks, and you make these radical predictions as if like, yeah, there's a 50% chance you could be right or wrong. Yeah, you know, one team's going to win, one team's going to lose. Yeah, big deal. Okay, you called the right, you made the right call. Who cares? Who cares? No one cares. And while I'm on my tirade about NFL-related stuff, how about just the amount? When are people going to take a stand about the amount of sports commercialization, sponsorship crapola that appears on TV screens every single day now? Advertisers are increasingly asserting themselves into the broadcast itself, and we're putting up with it. If you watch a classic sports episode from 10, 20 years ago, you don't see all this crazy commercial brand crap. Imagine what it's going to be like 10, 20 years from now watching classic sports. You're going to have all this crap on the screen, this crap all these brands, these corporations that aren't even going to be in existence anymore, that merge with something else, brands that no longer exist, going to be cluttering the screen with their crapola. Unbelievable. You got like the Fox Network. Ford has basically taken over the pregame show. Fox, these guys might as well do the pregame in a Ford pickup. That they are basically, they have just bent over and let Ford insert their pickup right up the show's butt. It's unbelievable. And this happens, this is just one example. I'm just picking on it, but there's just zillions of it. Every timeout, every stat update, everything is sponsored, sponsorship logos everywhere, and it really diminishes the nature of the event by implying that everything about the event is for sale. Sports are supposed to be about passion and about leaving everything you have on the field, not about thinking about, well, you know, we might be able to sell this moment to a particular sponsor and make even a little bit more money. It's really pretty disgusting. And I'm not saying that there's not a role for businesses to position themselves in broadcast. I mean, that's the nature of our economic system. But what I'm saying is that fans put up with it. Fans allow it to happen. They support it. They don't say everyone is on the chat boards feminizing their opponents, calling them, you know, cowgirls or patsies or whatever it is. But how many fans have ever even complained about the fact that their logo's dripping all over the screen so you can barely see the action on the field anymore? Yeah, Ford. You know, let's see Ford field a football team and go out on the field and play. Ford has nothing to do with football. They have nothing to do with football. These sponsors, they want to be about athletic excellence and associate themselves with that. They have nothing to do with that. And I guess I'm the only person in America that cares. Well, actually, I know there's a few others because I write about this on my blog all the time, and I do get emails from a few people. But the point is that if you don't draw a line in the sand in life, people are just going to walk on you. And I don't understand why people aren't a little more frustrated, because if you don't draw a line, pretty soon, I guarantee you, the actual athletic event is going to be a small box in the corner of your TV screen, and surrounding it are going to be constant corporate jingles and advertisements, and you're basically going to be seeing through those in order to try to catch the action on the field. If you care about it, it's time to speak out, it's time to speak up, it's time to say, this is unacceptable. You got to streamline this, and do your sponsors right, but also do your spectators right, and don't put them in a position where they can't possibly enjoy a game without thinking constantly about Ford. Okay, so I absorbed the fact that Ford wants to associate itself with Fox. What does that mean to me? That means nothing. Next time I buy a car, I'm going to buy the best car I can. Ford's going to have nothing to do with it. So F you, Ford, and F you, all the other sponsors that are basically ruining sports television as far as I'm concerned. Okay, so let's see. It's been a pretty cheerful pick-me-up kind of a sports week so far. The Pats have the week off, so I'm not really thinking about Patriots football right now. We'll see what happens next week. I think the Jags were a tough matchup for them, so we're going to have to see what happens there. I don't have a prediction yet on that game, but I guess my gut feeling is the Pats are going to win. Maybe I'll try to give one towards the end of the week on that game. I think San Diego could give the Colts a tough game, but I think the Colts will prevail. So I think we're going to see advancement according to seed on the AFC side, who knows what could happen. I think any of those four teams could end up in the championship. So in some ways, I think the NFC is going to be more interesting along those lines. If I want to talk about something that I'm inspired about, I can look no further than Celtics basketball. I did not think the Celtics were going to be this good this year. I thought they were going to be good. I did not see this coming. I thought Big Baby was a good draft pick at the spot they took him, but I didn't know he was going to play so smart, so well, so young. The Celtics, all their role players are just fitting into the puzzle perfectly. And I have to say, for the first time, I think they have a chance to win it all. I really do. I think they have a chance to win a championship this year. The last game up in Detroit kind of convinced me. I do think Detroit might still be a slightly better team, but here's the problem. I don't know if Detroit has the relentless work ethic that the Celtics do. And if Detroit thinks they can just coast through the season and then beat the Celtics where it counts in the playoffs, I don't think they're right about that. I think Detroit, if they dedicate themselves to being as good as the Celtics now, they could probably beat them in the postseason. I also think that the Cavaliers could give the Celtics problems. If LeBron has the series of his life, the Celtics don't know how to handle LeBron. They have nothing to do with him, so he could really pose a challenge. But I was just so inspired by the way all the pieces on the Celtics fit together. And I think they could go out there and give any team from the West a hard time. Now, of course, San Antonio playing at the top of their game, they're probably a little bit better than the Celtics also. But I don't think any other teams are. The Celtics really have a shot this year. I thought it was going to take them at least another year. But Rondo's playing awesome. I thought Rondo, they were going to need at least another point guard. But I think Rondo's the man, and they showed against Detroit that when Rondo's a little outmatched physically, like with someone like a Chauncey Billups, then Tony Allen can come in and carry the load defensively and be a slightly bigger body. And I thought they would have time with big-bodied folks. But when they played, I can't remember now, they played a big center recently, and what they did is they just – oh, it was Yao Ming. And they had Scott Pollard in there with his six fouls, Kendrick Perkins with the six fouls, and they put KG on him in the end of the fourth quarter, and that was a great game plan. And I can't say enough about this selfless model of team-oriented ball that the Celtics have built. It's amazing. I don't think anyone could have known just how well this was going to work out. I think there are other teams that could win, but the Celts, I think they have as good a shot as anyone. Now, I think the NBA does have a lot of problems. I would like to see them completely reseed for the postseason, and I think I may have talked about that last week, but maybe I'll talk about that more in a future broadcast just to make sure that I didn't just now talk about it. But I think the NBA has some problems, both in terms of making its regular season more relevant and making the postseason matchups better where they count, instead of always having these huge matchups in the conference finals and then anticlimactic finals and stuff. So I think there's a lot the NBA can do to improve the format and such. But the point is that the Celtics are going to be in the mix, and they're playing just a brand of basketball I can feel really good about. So on the good side of the sports spectrum, and even if you're not a fan of the Boston Celtics, I think you have to be psyched to watch a team like that play and hope that other teams will go up against them and play very competitively and, you know, give us those exciting, like, you know, last 2-3 minutes counting down and who's going to win and no one knows. And I mean, what more can you ask from a sports matchup than that? I want to talk about Roger Clemens for a little bit. I watched most of his 60-minute interview, and I thought he did a pretty good job. I thought he was pretty insolent sometimes. He was pretty angry. And I understand completely why Roger Clemens will be angry, like, especially on the off chance that he actually didn't do this stuff. Now, I happen to believe that based on all the evidence I've seen and just the physical observations of Clemens and how his body has performed, that he probably did use performing enhancing drugs. But my feeling is he's more mad, not so much that he didn't do it, but that so many people did and that he is being made an example of in some ways. So my feeling is that's why he's so mad. But maybe he's mad because he didn't do it. The point is that he's mad. And being that mad during an interview isn't necessarily very becoming. My feeling about it is that what Clemens should have done during that interview is anticipate arguments better. And this is really what I try to do in this show, besides just swear a little bit like I've done tonight, is to try to provide a take on things you haven't maybe heard or seen before. And as far as my take on this particular situation, I think that when you look at an argument, the way you make a compelling counterargument is by taking into account what you think people are going to respond to and then incorporate that into your defense. So, for example, Roger feels incredibly indignant that he's not getting any credit for his 25 years of service or whatever, never mind how much money and glory he received for that service, but whatever, he paid his dues all those years. Okay. But what makes Roger Clemens different than all these other high-profile athletes who said one thing and did another and who, claimed that they weren't on the stuff and eventually it was found that they were? He needed to acknowledge that. And what about the fact that just about, the only examples in big-time sports we see of people who made a surge after the age of 38 have been chemically induced or enhanced performances? None of the classic figures in sports that didn't have access to those things had that kind of peak. Michael Jordan didn't peak at age 38. Hank Aaron didn't peak at age 38. You could go on and on and on. So what Roger Clemens needed to do is to say, basically, I understand why people are skeptical. I understand that many people have said that they didn't do it and then have later admitted that they did. I understand how it must look, me playing better and better as I get older. But I'm here to tell you that's not due to the drugs, that's due to my workout regimen, and here's what was different about my workout regimen that made that happen. Here are the legal supplements that I took. For example, creatine is completely legal, and creatine really does enhance your muscle mass and performance. When I used creatine, I thought I could just knock walls down. I felt so strong. So he could have basically gone into some detail as to how his workouts allowed him to succeed at that level, but instead, he's so indignant and he's so angry that he hurts himself because he doesn't actually make a thoughtful argument. He can't get beyond his emotions and make a thoughtful argument and say, here's the objections that I anticipate you're going to have, and here's what I respond to them. So for me, I have a problem with Clemens because he didn't address the fact that when he's gotten older, he's played better, and he didn't address the fact that other people, for example, I think it was Palmeiro, no, it wasn't, it was Tejada, who was it Tejada, I'm pretty sure, who said he'd also had B12 injections and it turned out they were steroids or whatever. So B12 as an injection source has been used before as an excuse by people who were later caught for or admitted that they used performance-enhancing drugs. So the point is that Clemens needed to anticipate those objections and that he didn't do any of that in the interview. Now, as for this whole thing about how he said that he was thinking of not suing because of the amount of money involved, well, that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, Clemens has more money than he could ever spend. And if he really wanted to sue, he could. Now, there may be other reasons for not suing that would have been persuasive, but the idea that he doesn't have the money to sue, I can't believe anyone besides myself has commented on that yet. That stretches credibility to the extreme, the idea that, oh, this might cost a lot of money, so I'm not going to pursue it. If I wanted to clear my name and I had that kind of money, I would pursue every avenue available. But of course, since I personally think he actually did do it and did use performance-enhancing drugs, I can see why he would be full of fury, but no actual battle plan exactly, except softball questions and such. But he does have a big press conference tomorrow with reporters, so we'll see what happens. But and this other thing that Clemens was like, well, why, why, why? He's feeling sorry for himself because he didn't. If he'd known the Mitchell report was going to say that stuff about him, then he definitely would have gone down there and cleared it up. Well, you had every opportunity to speak to the Mitchell people. They may not have told you you were going to be in the report, I don't know, but there's still no excuse for not helping out with the Mitchell report. You could have helped if you felt so strongly about this. What you were saying is, I'm not, Roger, what you were saying was basically, I would get involved if I knew my butt was on the line. Never mind, like, having any kind of principle about that you shouldn't use this stuff and that you shouldn't, let the, integrity of the game be questioned by this kind of thing. Go ahead and just complain that, yeah, oh, woe is me. If I knew I'd been fingered, I would have stepped up. You should have stepped up anyway, and so should everybody else, and then you wouldn't be having these problems now. So anyway, that's my Roger Clemens rant. And Roger, if you didn't do it, then I'm going to have to apologize. But before you persuade me, you're going to have to at least address a couple of key arguments that I don't feel you've addressed. So we'll see what happens. If you go before Congress, then I'll be glued to the TV set for that one. But until you're in front of Congress, I really don't have a whole lot of time to watch your interviews from here on out. Okay. So let's see. So I guess I mostly have had like kind of been a little bit chippy tonight. So for those listeners that aren't really into that, you probably already gave up on this broadcast. So those who are still listening to this probably are enjoying this rant. So before I go, I'm going to do a little more chippy stuff. And I'm going to start by ESPN Conversation, which is a feature I've used before, which is basically that I have issues with how fans are being incorporated into broadcasts with their stupid comments, and I guess I have a lot of issues with ESPN also for including those comments, though I know why they're doing it for business purposes, but the comments they're picking I don't think they're making everybody dumber instead of smarter. So when you make people dumber, you don't have my respect. So now I have this little tape of ESPN Conversation, and we're going to take a look at some comments that were flashing across the screen on this TV show that they selected. And the reason that I am basically like using these is that ESPN has selected these, whereas if I go online and look at a chat board, then that's just basically everyone gets to post. So these are comments that ESPN actually thought were worthy of publication on a TV screen. So let's see. Here we go. Now is the time to see if the Jags are a playoff pretender or if they are the real deal, says M. Freak. Yeah. Okay. Great. Now is the time. Thanks for telling us. M. Manning says, back-to-back Super Bowl champions, Indianapolis Colts. Sounds great, doesn't it? Get used to it. Okay. Whatever. What a joke. Yeah. Yeah, maybe the Colts will win. They got as good a chance, I think, as anybody. But you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. For Mike Tomlin to be able to prove himself this year, he has to win this game, says Bad Dog or whatever. No, he doesn't. He didn't win the game. Anyone could see that his team was overmatched. Mike, he had a great season. He's a good coach. They just didn't have the team. Now, whether Roethlisberger is going to be able to be a good enough quarterback for them, who knows? But you don't know. You just commented. You just threw something up there. You didn't know. He proved himself plenty this year. He lost Willie Parker. Was that his fault? Here's someone that says, Eli just called another timeout. Well, E-Dog, Eli went on and won. He won. He won today. You know what? I'm running out of steam on these comments. I could go on and on. Dallas Cowboys equals Super Bowl champions. Okay. The Cowboys won't be seen in the Super Bowl because they don't have T.O. Yeah, I mean, you don't know. I mean, has this guy been talking to T.O.? Has he seen an injury report? Has he seen T.O. play hurt before? I sure have. T.O. played with a broken ankle, I guess, against the Patriots in the Super Bowl when he was with the Eagles, and he played terrifyingly good. He wasn't just a decoy either. He racked up more than 100 yards. So the idea that T.O. is not going to, whatever, I could go on and on. I guess I'm like kind of done with that tonight. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed the rant tonight, and I'm sorry the show didn't have a whole lot of structure, but it's kind of late, and I've got another deadline, so I wanted to just kind of get off what I had to say, but hopefully you enjoyed some of the information I shared and the views, and I'll try to do this every Sunday night, and I'm not yet on a regular time, but you can look for me, the Uncensored Week in Sports, on Sunday night, and until next time, this is John Reed.
Goodbye.